As part of Controlrisk risk map analysis, over the past couple of months, we've recorded a series of podcasts in which our country analysts look ahead to significant events in security and political risk over the coming year in key investment markets. Today, I'm joined by Sam Wilkin, who is currently in Erbil, helping clients prepare for April's Iraq parliamentary elections. Thanks for joining us, Sam. And if we can start with those elections, what's the likely outcome of the polls, and do you think they could serve as a lightning rod for a significant deterioration in the security environment?
Absolutely, Andy. These elections are coming at a very tense time. Iraq has had a very tense year, politically speaking. A number of political crises have occurred over the past year, and that's been reflected also in a deterioration in the security environments, with 2013 being the most violent year since 2008. And the elections coming at such a moment do carry a great deal of significance. In spite of the violence and the various failures of the current government, we do still believe that Prime Minister Nouri al-Maliki is likely to win a third term of office. The reason for this primarily is that he commands significant support among the country's Shia Arab population, and also simply by virtue of being the sitting prime minister, that the power of the incumbency is really quite significant, as he's able to have the first attempt at forming a government, given that any government will be a coalition government in Iraq. This is a significant advantage. And he's also able to use his position at the top of the patronage tree to offer positions and perks to other coalitions to join his new government. Nevertheless, there is widespread opposition to Maliki, most notably among Iraq's Sunni Arab population. And in Sunni majority provinces, most notably Anbar, there's been a good deal of insurgency over the past several weeks, which is as a result of tensions between the Sunni Arab population and Maliki's current government, which is dominated by a fairly small Shia Arab elite. And certainly the Sunni Arab population, seeing broadly a continuation of the current status quo, is unlikely to be thrilled at the result, and some level of insurgency is likely to continue. The Kurdistan regional government as well is currently engaged in various disputes with the federal government on the disputed territories, budgetary allocation, and the legality of its oil contracts. And even among Shia Arabs, Maliki's core constituency, it's by no means a unified group. There are other rival leaders, such as Amal Hakim of the Islamic Supreme Council of Iraq, and of course Muqtada al-Sadr, who commands a great deal of grassroots support, particularly among poorer Shia communities, and recently announced his resignation from politics. And so even after the elections and after Maliki is able to form a government, it's by no means going to have the support of the whole country. And that's going to result in an increasingly complex operating environment.
Okay, and if there is period of instability following the elections and Maliki can't form a working coalition, what do you think would be the implications for business?
Certainly the environments will get more difficult. There's likely to be a lengthy period of coalition building after the elections. In 2010, it took 9 months, and we're looking at probably a similar sort of period on this occasion. And secondly, even after that government is formed, it's by no means going to have the support of the whole country. And the very process of forming that government, the number of concessions which may have been given away to competing power centres, will have unpredictable effects on the operating environment. Now, if we can break this down broadly into two areas of concern, the most obvious that we get asked by clients all the time is security. Clearly, Iraq is still one of the most violent countries in the world, with an ongoing insurgency in Sunni provinces that look set to continue after the elections. In addition, partly as a result of the Sunni insurgency and increasing activity of Al-Qaeda-linked terrorists, we've also seen an increase in Shia militancy, particularly in Baghdad over the last year, as vigilante groups take to the streets to defend their communities. And of course, this destabilizes the security environment because these groups are not accountable to the government. So those trends are going to continue. Operationally speaking, the election period also throws up challenges in business continuity, in dealing with Iraq's bureaucracy, and in government relations. The coalition building period is likely to witness a real slowdown in the business of government. And in fact, we've already begun to see this, and our clients have begun to see this in the oil sector, increasing difficulties in dealing with the government, in getting licenses renewed, in getting visas issued. The day-to-day functions of government that companies need to operate are really slowing down as the entire political establishment is gearing itself up for the elections. The political establishment will be equally preoccupied after the elections with the business of government formation. So again, the environment for investors is going to be increasingly challenging. The Kurdistan regional government is likely to place very strict conditions upon its support for a third Maliki term. And again, even Shia Arab provinces we've seen over the past year, increasingly assertive governors from Shia Arab political factions other than Maliki's demanding a greater degree of control over the running of their provinces, including relations with foreign investors. So investors are going to have to deal with a greater variety of people in government, both from a regulatory and licensing perspective and also from a security perspective. And that's going to make doing business in Iraq considerably more complex.
Hmm. And you mentioned the Kurdistan issue. Do you think there are any prospects for an improvement in relations between the federal and provincial governments, or indeed any form of resolution to the oil sector dispute with the KRG?
There is prospect for it, and the situation now, if anything, is more positive than it has been over the past several years. And the reason for this is that the central government and the Kurdistan regional government need each other more than ever at present. Kurdistan regional government has built a pipeline to Turkey, which allows it, in theory, to export oil independent of the federal government. In addition, Maliki, or in the unlikely event that Maliki is not able to form a government, any would-be successor to Maliki will need to get the support of Kurdish factions in order to quickly and efficiently form a government. And so the federal government in Baghdad has a real incentive to make a deal with the Kurds now. In addition, Kurdistan region does still depend on the federal government to a great degree in a financial and economic sense, in that the majority of the Kurdistan regional government's budget is an allocation from the federal budget. And federal politicians have not been afraid to threaten to cut or indeed entirely remove that allocation in the event that the Kurdistan region presses ahead with its independent oil sector. And so both sides now have an interest to come to an arrangement, and it's not going to be black and white, and there's unlikely to be a fundamental legal agreement to who has the right to exploit the Kurdistan region's oil. But we could see a deal in the coming months, perhaps after the elections take place, by which the Kurdistan region could export its oil and the federal government could take a share of the revenues.
Okay, thanks for joining us, Sam. We'll have to leave it there. You can find more of our podcast by searching for Control Risks on iTunes. Also, look out for our recently launched bi-weekly podcast series, where we preview the key issues likely to impact business in the shorter term. You'll be able to find and subscribe to all of our podcasts, again by searching for Control Risks on iTunes.